the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. I think, well, you have to be blind to not notice that at Christmas time there are lights everywhere. There's this connection with light and Christmas. And there's all kinds of places in the scripture where the prophets spoke of him as the light that was to come. And so light is what we're all called to be. Interesting, there was a fellow in Arkansas that I read about. This is years ago, 20 years ago, that he had a big property. He decided to put up lots of Christmas decorations. He put up an 18-foot-tall Santa Claus with reindeer, plus he had 3.2 million lights on his property. I would hate to pay his electric bill. 3.2 million lights. So many lights, the attraction of people by the hundreds and thousands of people that came down there, his road to see his place, that the neighbors got upset and filed a lawsuit against him. It went all the way to the Arkansas Supreme Court. The Supreme Court decision was, you can keep your lights, but you're going to have to cut back on certain times and the amount of times so that your neighbors can get down their street and it won't be always clogged with people. And this guy was insistent on lights at Christmas time and made a big deal about it. Well, the point is that light is attractive. Light attracts. And we have been called in probably one of the darkest times. I know in my lifetime, it is a dark, dark time. I'm speaking in spiritual terms. It's dark. And we need the church to be the light that we have been called to be. Let's read some verses here in Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse number 5. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. The word means expose them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We'll stop right there. Actually, the background on Ephesus was that the Apostle Paul went into Ephesus and founded a church there. And Ephesus was like a center of idolatry. It was one of the most wicked cities in the world. The temple to the goddess Diana was wicked, idolatrous worship that was more than you can even describe when you read about the type of immorality that took place as a part of their worship. The wickedness and the vile things that were done as a part of their worship. That was how wicked and ungodly that it was in Ephesus. But Paul came in and preached the gospel, and the light turned on. And the light began to spread. And the church was established. And here, He is warning them about what was going on in the past, what Ephesus used to be like. He said, you know that they were whoremongers, unclean, covetous, idolaters, and none of them have part in the inheritance in the kingdom of God. And he says, don't be deceived by any vain words or empty words. Anything that anyone would say to say, oh, it's not that bad. It's not that bad what the way that these idolaters live. It's not all that bad. But he said, you can't excuse it, because the wrath of God will fall upon those who persist in this kind of ungodliness and wickedness. He says, don't be a partaker of it. You were darkness, but now you are light. And that's what happens when a person gets born again. Their life is just surrounded by darkness. You're just completely consumed by the darkness of this world and of sin and all of the things. But when you hear the gospel and you reach out in faith and believe upon the Lord, there's a light that comes on, and you are changed by the light of truth. What a wonderful thing that is. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, it says, give thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Interesting way to describe the saints. We are partakers of the saints in light. We live in the light. That's how we survive when we are in the light. And it says in verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So he's delivered us from darkness, and he's translated us into the kingdom of light. Glory to God. You know, the word translate there, it just means that you've been picked up and you have been transported from one place to another. That's what happens when you are born again. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch that the apostle, what was it, Philip? Philip, that went and joined himself to that eunuch who was reading from the book of Isaiah, and he needed someone to explain it to him. And so he explained to him the gospel. And this man, who knew nothing about God but was hungry for God, it was explained to him. He received it. He believed upon the Lord. And it says, at that moment, this is in Acts chapter 8, that the Spirit translated it. It's the same exact word that Paul used there in Colossians 13, that you've been translated from the world of darkness into the kingdom of light. The Bible says that there he is, Philip's with this eunuch, talking to him about Isaiah and the gospel and Jesus. And suddenly the Spirit translates him to a place called Azotus. It's 34 miles away. The Spirit of God picked him up and translated him all the way to this place. And it says in my Bible, in the King James, it says, and he was found at Azotus there with among the brethren preaching the gospel there. The Spirit of God picked him up and moved him and translated him to another place. Do you know that when you get saved, when you come to the Lord, that's the kind of translation that the Lord says takes place in your life. You get moved from the kingdom of darkness supernaturally to the kingdom of light. And now the light is on. And when the light is on, you can see clearly. When you're in darkness, you cannot see. You don't even know that you're fumbling around in the darkness. But once the light is turned on, I'm talking about the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Once you have been moved from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, then you can see clearly. I remember as a young person, a couple of buddies of mine, several times, I wasn't a big deer hunter, but I went deer hunting a few times. And we would go out and find our deer stand at 4 o'clock in the morning, freezing to death. And it was in the dark, and we had lights to find our way to our tree stand and climb up in the top of that tree at 4 o'clock in the morning in freezing weather. And then you just sat there quietly and wait and wait and wait. But the most amazing thing, though, was that vantage point from that tree stand when the sun started coming up. It was relatively quiet. When the sun began to come up, then I could see further than 4 or 5 feet in front of my face. I could see, and I started hearing, squirrels are moving around, and the rabbits are jumping around, and the woods are coming alive because the sun is coming up. Everything is coming to life. Two little fawns came and sat right underneath my tree and just sat there, and I just watched them. As the sun is coming up, then I could see for a long distance. Then that's what it's like when you come to the Lord. You're in darkness, but then when the Son of Righteousness is born in your heart and you are translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, then you start seeing much more clearly. When you're in the world, when you don't know the Lord, then you're in darkness. You don't really know how to serve God or how to please God. You don't know anything about what it means. Let me read you some more verses. This back up a page in your Bible to Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having your understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. What's it talking about? When you don't know the Lord, when the Lord is not real in your life, then your understanding of spiritual things is darkened. And it says here, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance. What does it mean? You know, if you begin to alienate yourself from the things of God, if you begin to step away from the things of God, I want you to know that as a believer, that if you're neglecting prayer, if you're neglecting God's word, if you're neglecting the house of God, all these important disciplines, you know, when you neglect those things, you alienate yourself from the life of God. And don't be surprised if after time you don't find yourself in ignorance and in darkness. You have to walk in the light. You have to live in the light. It's every day. It's every week. And if you're not in the light, there's really the only other option is darkness. If you walk away from the light, you're walking into the darkness and away from the life. And that's what the apostle is saying here. Your understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And the word blindness there literally means hardness or calloused. You can become calloused in your heart if you allow yourself to walk without the Lord and not walking daily in the light of truth. So you need God's word daily. You need to commune with the Lord, to fellowship with the Lord. You need prayer. You need time with the Lord. You need the fellowship of the saints of God. All these things are a part of the discipline of those who walk in the light. Amen. Amen. And if you walk away from God and walk away from church and walk away from your Bible and walk away from your prayer, you're going to be headed into darkness, back into darkness. Don't allow that to happen. Don't allow that to happen. Stay in the light of truth. You've been translated, moved from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And now we're called to walk in that. Walk in the light of truth. Live in the light of truth. Amen. Don't allow anything to distract you or to keep you from being in that place of fellowship with the Lord. You were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You used to be darkness, now you're light, so walk in light. Walk in the light of truth. Stay in the middle of the light of truth, and don't walk away from it. What happens to those that walk in light? Well, the scripture here tells us that, the first thing that it mentions is that you become fruitful. Your life is fruitful. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. As when you're walking in the light, your life becomes fruitful. You know that nothing grows without light. Nothing can grow without light. Gardens don't grow. Fruit trees don't bear fruit. Nothing grows. But when there is light, the proper amount of light, then there's life. There's life where there's light. And so you will bear fruit if you are walking in the light of truth. Amen. Every day you're pursuing the things of God. Every day you're building up the spiritual man and you're walking in the Spirit and walking in the light of His Word. Then you will begin to produce fruit in your life. And that's something that I think that every Christian should be concerned about. I want to live my life and I want to bear fruit. Amen. I want to bear fruit. Then in verse 10 it says, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Not only do we, as we walk in the light, not only do we bear fruit, but we live in such a way that is pleasing to God. We please Him. Isn't that really the thing that should motivate us? Lord, this is not about me. Church is not about me. It's not, you know, everything that satisfies me and meets my needs. It's not that. Church is not about you having your needs met. Obviously, when you come, many times God does meet our needs, but it's really about serving Him and giving to Him and being used of the Lord. And as you please the Lord, then God, in turn, blesses your life in more ways than you can even imagine. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, living in such a way as to be pleasing unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them or expose them. What does that mean? Does that mean we all go around and we say, you're a sinner. You're doing wrong. You're doing that. You're doing that. You're wrong. Is that what that means? No. It just means that the light, the reflection, we're like the moon, that we are a reflection of the light of Jesus Christ, so that everywhere we go, the light is on. And when the light is on, those that are in sin and wickedness and doing evil things, they're going to be uneasy. They're going to be uncomfortable because you're there. It's not because you're saying you're a bad guy. It's not because you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't live that way. And no, it's just because you are reflecting the light of Jesus every day in your life. And it makes those that are in darkness uncomfortable because the light begins to expose. You know, people love darkness because their deeds are evil. Who is it? Someone, I forget who it was, somebody said, nothing good happens after midnight. Rodney's mother, nothing good happens after midnight. It's all bad. Go to bed early. If you stay up half the night, you're going to get in trouble. Let me tell you, it's true. I've got family members, I've got a son. I know that people that hang up half the night, they get in trouble all the time. It's the truth. It's the truth. Go to bed and sleep and get up the next morning and get in the Word and get in the presence of the Lord and start your day as the sun comes up with the light of truth. Amen. I didn't really intend to say all that. What does it do? The light exposes. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them or expose them just by the reflection of the light of Jesus that is in your life. Amen. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Amen. It's only as you reflect Jesus that you are going to be able to have an impact. And God has called us. We have been called. Jesus said, as long as I'm in the earth, I am the light of the world. But when he left and ascended into heaven, he already told us, you're the light of the world. The church is the light of the world. You and me, we're the reflection of light in this world. And let me tell you, this is a dark, dark time. Everywhere you look, every form of media, it is so dark and so wicked. It's just like that the enemy is pumping his wickedness right into your ears and your eyes. There's so much in all the various forms of media today that's pretty much under the control of the evil one. It's the truth. And just a constant bombardment of evil. These are wicked and these are dark, dark times. But God has called us. Amen. We're not called to just survive these times. We're called to be light in these times. God's put you where you are, in the neighborhood you're in, on the job that you're at, in the school that you're at. Wherever you are right now, God's put you there to be light. To be light. So accept that great privilege of being a reflection of Jesus Christ to this world. These are evil days. These are dark days. It is more than you could almost comprehend how wicked and awful things are in our world right now. But right where you are, God's planted you there. Be light. Amen. Be the light. Be the light. And allow the Lord to make you fruitful and to see seeds of truth sown in the hearts of people. You may be around some of the hardest hearted, most resistant people to the things of God. Sow seeds of truth. Let the light shine in those places. Sometimes it's family. And not so much in our family, because just about everybody in our family serves the Lord. But I know sometimes family members, you are around family that don't know God or don't walk with the Lord. And sometimes it's awkward. Even around the holidays, it's awkward for you. But shine. Shine. Shine bright around your family. The family that don't know the Lord, that don't love Jesus, that aren't interested in the things of God. Shine the light of truth. God's called you. He's positioned you. He's placed you there. Amen. Don't just feel uncomfortable around them. Understand God called you to be there, to be light. There might not be light if it's not for you reflecting the light of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Thank God for his word. Father, we just thank you that you've given us the great privilege of shining the light of Jesus during this wonderful season. And Lord, I know that a lot of people are distracted by parties and all kinds of things that Lord, they don't bring glory and honor to your name. But Lord, help us in the middle of it all to shine the light of truth, to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And Lord, that our lives, our testimonies, our homes, our families, that it's all a testimony of the light, that we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness. You've picked us up and you've moved us into the kingdom of light. Thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done.